Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Beautiful Tuesday, July the 10th. We have in the broadcast bungalow Holly Harbin. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Holly is an author of a book that I have in my hand. Here's what it sounds like. That's what the book sounds like. It's called The Relic. And Holly, I saw you at your place of work, and your employer told me about this book, and it looks spectacular. So I invited you to come into the broadcast bungalow and talk to us about us. First of all, tell us about your biography. What brought you from where to here?
Well, as far as writing or physically, both.
Go anywhere with that crazy question.
All right. Well, born and raised in the metro area. I've always lived south or west side. And it's been an odd trajectory. You never really know. Well, you have an idea of what you want to do.
When did you know what you wanted to do? Are you talking about writing?
Sort of. Okay. I've had a lot of different interests, but writing has always been a consistent interest since probably about age 13.
I was going to say, what was the first thing you ever wrote that you remember?
Oh, it was awful, I'm sure. some short story, probably when I was 13.
You have to get that out of your system before you can get to the good stuff.
I got a lot of that out of my system.
What did you read when you were a kid?
Historical fiction.
Yeah?
Yes.
Because that's what we have right here, isn't
it? Yes, ma'am.
It?
Absolutely.
The Relic by Holly Harbin. Is this available on Amazon?
It is. It is available on Amazon. Right now, it is back-ordered, but... I don't know if that's good or bad. Did they underestimate? It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I believe it will be available in stores as well. I'm still sort of walking through all of the this process. It was
the distribution channels.
Right, exactly. It was a self-published project. So it's all new to me.
Okay. There's an adorable picture of you on the back. With your doggy dog?
Mm-hmm.
What's your doggy's name?
That's Wesser.
Wesser?
Mm-hmm.
What's that name?
Are you familiar with Western North Carolina?
No, I must not be.
Okay.
Well, I've been in Waynesville a few times.
Okay. It is about 45 minutes west of Waynesville. It's an area just north of the Nantahala Gorge. And there's a mountain and a creek and a sort of a little neighborhood. It's all this area, Wesser. And
I see.
I love the name, and I love the area. It's dear to my heart, and I felt like it was appropriate for a little fellow.
And the back cover says, Holly Harbin is an armchair historian and Appalachia devotee who lives with her family on the outskirts of Atlanta. Are these the outskirts of Atlanta?
That's what I'm calling it, yeah.
Okay. All right, the rail. We're going to save talking about the book itself. I thought we would do it in this segment, but I want to talk about you some more.
Okay.
Okay. So you started writing when you were about 13, and what made you become an armchair historian? What periods of history do you like?
Oh, the nearest and dearest to my heart is probably the mid-18th century, North American.
So that'd be the 1700s.
Right, yeah. The back and forth between the Native Americans and the Anglo and Franco forces, that is so interesting to me. So French and Indian War, huge part of my life.
Because you read so much about it?
I read so much about it probably because, and this may sound silly, but when, in 1992 I was 7, and we saw Last of the Mohicans, and we had a home in Western North Carolina where it was filmed. The area was already dear to me. And so little girl took me to the movies because my parents took me everywhere.
That's cool. Yeah. Are you an only child?
Sort of. I'm the only child of my parents.
Your parents. Okay.
I have siblings who are older.
Okay.
Who have children my age. So, we saw Last of the Mohicans, and it was unbelievably impactful.
Daniel Day-Lewis and Madeline? No.
Stowe.
Yes.
Yeah, you had it.
Holy cow.
Good job.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just for a moment just surprised at how awesome I was just now. Did you read it? James Fenimore Cooper. Yeah, that's a different experience.
It is. I read a good bit of it, and I was just so...
It's not at all like the movie.
It's not. And it's not even just, you know, the action or the romance or anything like that. I didn't feel engaged. I didn't feel pulled in. I didn't feel like I was there.
But it's not that you don't like reading. It was just the Cooper.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And experience. I love to read. That's been a huge part of my life.
Who are your favorite and most influential authors?
Well,
she just gave me a look like, you didn't tell me you were going to ask me.
I know. First off, honestly, would have to be Bernard Cornwell. He's written a lot of, well, he writes pretty much only historical fiction. I think he has a little bit of nonfiction, but that's his main thing.
Bernard Cornwell?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awfully British.
He is British.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what's his period that he likes to write about?
He's all over the place.
Okay.
Not the only North American time period that he focuses on is, I think, mostly during the Revolution. A lot of what he deals with is older Viking and past, like toward the Middle Ages Britain.
You know, I never know what we're going to talk about when we get on the air. but you seem like somebody, do you ever watch those historical fiction? Well, sometimes they're not historical fiction, but that's on, let's say, Netflix or Amazon. When you said Vikings, I immediately went to Vikings, which is my husband and I think there's six seasons right now available, and we binge watched all of them.
Did you
see them?
I have not, and I need to.
You must. That is, everybody, did you hear that? She has to watch it.
And I will.
But what are some of your favorite shows that you watch on in that regard?
Well, on Netflix, there's a show, what is it, The Last Kingdom, which is based on a series by Bernard Cornwell.
That's...
Yes!
Seriously?
That is Bernard.
The Last Kingdom. Oh, that one's rough.
It is.
You know, Vikings really kind of follows the same time period. And we're talking about, what, the 800s AD, when the Vikings really just slam the east coast, northeast coast of England. And... most of us with English heritage, with British heritage, probably have some Viking in us.
Surely. Yeah, absolutely. Especially Scottish and Northern English.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really all of it.
They
just went everywhere. They were prolific.
They were something else. Yeah. Well, okay. So here we go, everybody. Here's your summer viewing list. Although maybe you should wait until the winter. But The Last Kingdom, really good Viking narrative, mm-hmm. And Vikings. And so you just... Let's get back to Holly, since that's kind of what we're talking about. You said that you wrote some early stuff. I guess you would call it doggerel. That's just sort of early, immature, get it out of your system stuff.
Yes.
Is The Relic, this book that I have in my hands, is it your first really complete, standalone, ready for public consumption work?
It is. And really, I started the whole process, that particular story, about 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, short story. Knocked it out in about 3 months.
Just for the love of it, or were you in class?
Yeah. No, it was just for funsies. And because I've always been writing something. I've just mm-hmm. never finished anything. And so I did that. It was about a short story length. Put it down. Picked it back up a few years ago. Couldn't commit. Picked it up again in November and blazed through.
Really? To what can you attribute your sort of meh, you're going from meh to get out of my way, I'm in the zone?
Growing up.
Okay.
Yeah, just learning that self-discipline, make yourself do it. You don't feel like doing it, I don't care, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
were there times you had to drag yourself to your desk?
Yes, but even when you do, once I get into it, and once I start to... you know, feel a little more comfortable with it, then it tends to flow better.
Have you shopped the book at local? I mean, can we find it at local bookshops?
I need to talk to local bookshops about that. It is supposed to be available at regular brick and mortar, as well as mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, that sort of thing. So I'm still trying to find out more about the process. I'm bothering the devil out of the poor people at Book Baby. I'm constantly emailing them, what do I do now? What do I need to
What's
do?
What's Book Baby's?
That is the company that partners with Amazon
for
self-publishing.
Because, and we're going to go to our first break in a moment, but I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say that every single person has a book, at least one, in him or herself. You know, like we've all had these experiences in our lives that are specific to us, and we can express those experiences through autobiography or fiction or whatever. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And there's so much of me in that. I was a complete glutton and took everything that interests me and threw it into one book. Well, not everything, but quite a bit of it.
That kept you interested. Otherwise, you probably... Plus, you write what you know, right?
That's right.
So maybe part of the reason why, after sort of some starts and stops, this thing just... You were just able to buzz through it is because you knew so much more about how... about the details of your story.
Right. Just continually reading more and more. And also, the main character deals with a lot of mental health issues, and I've always been interested in abnormal psychology and that sort of thing. So that was a big draw for me.
We've come to the right place. When we get back, we're going to talk about the book itself, the plot line, as much as Holly can bear to reveal. But just as a teaser, I'm going to read you the little slug line at the, on the back of the book. It says, In the ancient hills of Appalachia, a young woman's obsession with a family relic entangles her in the mysterious history of a tainted bloodline. Holly Harbin, who are you? When her investigation forces her to acknowledge the horrors of the past, she must do whatever it takes to protect those she loves from an enduring malevolence that imperils the future. Holy cow. J.K. Rowling, step aside, please. Okay, and the rest of us, in the meantime, we'll be hearing from Tanner Health System. We'll be back in 60 seconds with Holly Harbin. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And we're back, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, budding autobiographers or fiction writers. This is Lori Wilson with you and Holly Harbin. She made it over the break. You didn't faint from fear?
I have my smelling salts. We're good.
<That's> good. We're talking about Holly's book. And it's actually a lovely book. I'd hold it up to the microphone, but I don't think you could hear. Describe for us the graphic on the front cover.
Absolutely. Well, when I started talking to the designers of Book Baby, I said I want it to look like an older book. And so we went back and forth, got some ideas, and so it has a sort of faux leather look to it with gold embossing. And the design on the front is...
It looks rather South American to me.
Doesn't it? Which is interesting because it's actually based on a North Native American design. I drew it based on that.
Oh, you drew this?
I did.
So you are a writer and an artist?
Sometimes.
Pretty good. Impressive.
Right. So it does. It looks very sort of Mesoamerican, and that's apparently the Mississippian influence from everything I've read. Heavy Mississippian influence on the art during the period of 1000 to 1500.
BC or
AD? AD. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I cannot remember exactly how old the piece is that I based that on, but it was a shell. I've heard it pronounced more than one way. I'll go with the most pretentious.
We're not going to.
Gorget.
A shell gorget?
Gorget, yes. So it's a medallion, and I guess it's about three or 4 inches.
In diameter?
Yeah. And they were very popular among Native Americans, and once the Euros started making their forays into the continent, they sort of picked up on that, and eventually you'll see paintings of gentlemen in red coats with maybe a medal. Gorget.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It became quite the fashion statement.
You know, I love these is this an intergenerational, a transgenerational saga that starts at year zero, sort of in the vein of Michener or Rutherford?
Sort of, except rather than, you know, from the beginning and then on, it's really right now at the end of the story thus far, looking back further and further and further.
I see. So there's a sequel maybe?
I don't know. I think it's probably a standalone, although the flashbacks, the little vignettes themselves, I enjoy a lot of the characters in those. I've wondered if I might do a spinoff of some of those.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Because they're different periods in history, different places in history. And I liked, honestly, a lot of the characters that developed as I was going back further and further.
Did you find yourself writing and then going, holy cow, I didn't know about this?
Yes.
I had no idea I was going there.
Yes.
That's so cool. So the book starts with, like all good historical fiction, with maps to orient the reader.
Oh my,
a
yes.
A family tree. Mm-hmm. Irene's family tree selection.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a large, expansive family tree. And so we are looking at a selection of the family tree that revolves around the main characters.
See, these are the pages that I would dog ear, because one has to refer to this beginning matter when you go through historical fiction. I love that stuff.
I do.
Did
too.
You ever read any Michener?
Oh, yes.
What's your favorite? Say Centennial. Or you can say Chesapeake.
Actually, I do like Chesapeake. And also, is it, was it Rutherford who did Ruska?
It was Ruska. That was Rutherford. He also did Sarah. Oh, I love everything he ever wrote. Okay, so reading assignment, everybody. Anything by James Michener. And if you like your English history, is it James Rutherford? His last name is Rutherford.
It is Rutherford, yeah. And I...
Oh, my gosh. That is so good.
Yeah.
Starting at the time of, let's say, the Druids, the pre-Roman Celts, all the way up till, like, yesterday.
Right. That one was... Was that the forest?
I think it might have been London.
Okay.
Well, the forest, too. Gosh, we have a lot of... it. Don't be bored, everybody. We're geeking out here. And these are some really... And the thing I like about Michener and Rutherford is that the books are...
Oh, yeah.
They are just imposingly thick, but every chapter could be just a standalone story.
Oh, absolutely. I love that, too. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about the vignettes there. Each one, I feel like, could sort of spin off into their own eventually.
So tell us the premise of your book. Who are the I'll say, protagonists, and who are the antagonists?
All right, your main protagonist is going to be Alice Ross. She is... a young woman, maybe in her 20s, it's not really specified, but in living in North Carolina in the late 1800s, and she finds the relic, this
relic
gorget.
That you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Gorget.
Like.
Oh, gorget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've heard it many ways, but that's what I'm going to go with.
I call it a thingy.
It
so
is.
I like gorget better.
Well, it is a thingy.
It's a medallion.
It is.
Okay, go.
Fancy thingy. So she finds this. It belongs to her husband, and she's curious about it. He has no interest. He really doesn't know what it is.
Where did he get it?
It's been in his family for years, as long as he has been aware. It's always been in the family, and he's never been curious about it. She is, and it turns out that her husband's mother had done some research on it already, so she digs through her former mother, or her, she's passed away,
her
former
departed
mother-in-law's, yeah, papers, and begins discovering an odd connection between this relic and her husband's forebears. And she digs further on her own, and as you noticed on the back, there's a lot of darkness.
A tainted bloodline. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that figures it out. I married into a family with a tainted bloodline.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
So how does a husband react when she reveals all this?
He is an unusual character.
What's
and,
his name?
Robert. Robert Ross.
And, Robert Ross.
Yes. And he, you'll just have to... I can't say too much about Robert. You'll have to get to know him, but he is an early practitioner of psychology.
Okay.
And he's interested in the human mind, and including his wife's. She suffers from some what we would now call anxiety and depression, and he does treat her for that.
Okay. Do they have kids?
No.
Yeah, I wish we could. You could see. Okay, so Holly is trying so hard. She's walking that line between tantalizing us with with hints and guesses about the storyline, but you don't want to give it away.
Right.
Were there times when you just said, I don't know how to find an ending on this thing? Or did you already know what the end point was going to be?
I think I came to the end point fairly early on. Getting there was sometimes the interesting part, but I had a pretty good idea all along.
How long was this story percolating inside your noggin?
Working on it on and off again for about 7 years, but the original short story, I don't know, I banked that out in about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it came to me that I liked the idea of an object that, I guess I'm not giving too much away, is sort of possessed of a soul and is aware of things and has connections to those around it and has been, you know, around viewing the world and observing things for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. I liked that idea. And then I liked the idea that there was something a bit malevolent about it.
I think I asked you earlier a related question, so forgive me if your answers, if I'm leading you to give us another same answer, but who are your influences?
As far as writing?
Yeah.
Bernard Cornwell, definitely. I also like Diana Gabaldon.
Gabaldon?
Is it Gabaldon? She wrote the Outlander series.
Another great
adaptation. Did I say her name wrong?
I don't know. We'll look it up over the break, which is hard upon us. Mm. Any others?
Arianna Franklin, and she has another pen name that I can't think of. She has since passed away. I loved her.
She's still with us in her books.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the writing process maybe a little bit, and then also publishing and whatever else comes to mind. But it's time for our second break already. So here comes Tanner Health System, and we will be back with Holly Harbin in 60 seconds. So stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient every time is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
We're back, everybody. Happy, happy Tuesday. This is Lori Wilson still on Community Voice, our last segment with Holly Harbin, a local author, and whose book I am holding in front of the radio, in front of the microphone. It sounds good. It sounds like a really great, it sounds like it's about, 230 pages-ish?
Yes, ma'am.
So how long did it take you to write this book?
The last go through November of 2017 through March of this year.
Did you have an editor as well, sort of an outside somebody to read?
Yeah, my poor mother. Both of my parents have written and edited professionally in different careers. And so I bothered her and bothered her and bothered her and bothered her. And she helped me with that.
I bet you she was delighted to do it for you. I bet you.
She never complained.
Okay.
But she wouldn't.
Well, that's something. Okay. I just noticed, we talked earlier about this book. And if you're just joining us, this is a... Describe for people just joining us sort of the premise of the book.
It is, it's a mystery. It's historical fiction and a mystery. A woman who finds a relic, a medallion, and she's curious about it. It belongs to her husband. And so she goes on a quest to find out its history, and it is a dark and bloody history.
Yikes. And then she must do whatever it takes to protect those she loves from an enduring malevolence that imperils the future.
And it does.
Dang, man. Okay, so I'm looking at your family tree, and I'm looking at a question just popped into my noggin, and that is, I love the names that you've chosen. Guillaume Bellamy or Guillermo Bella? Oh, so he...
He goes by two different names. It depends on who he's hanging out with at the time.
Mysterious.
Either the Spanish or the French. Depends on who he's friends with.
René Lamotte, Samuel Lamotte, Charles, Agatha, Andrew Huber. That sounds like a different bloodline or something.
It is. We start off with Huguenots, and it, you know, once they come to America, of course, they start marrying into other folks.
Huguenots or Huguenots, they are actually Protestants from France, right?
Correct.
And they, were they, yeah, they... They were the object of St. Bartholomew Day Massacre, right?
I believe you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why do I remember that?
I don't know.
But the streets literally ran with blood in Paris. And I'm trying to remember what year that would be. But we had in Georgia, I guess a lot of us are descended from those Huguenot, I guess you could call them refugees to the New World.
Yeah, a lot of them... went to, at the time, New France, but a lot of them also came to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And there's this, I don't know why I'm even telling you this, but there's a strain of wine grape. I don't know if he even said that right. But if you go, I wish I hadn't even gone down this line. local wineries here in Georgia, they boast that the wine grapes are descended from a type of grape that the Huguenots brought with them when they showed up here.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, fun fact. Had cool. Nothing to do with anything you and I talked. I'm sorry.
No, that's really neat. I didn't know that.
I noticed that some of your pages are written in first person? No, but they are progressive tense. Something is happening right now.
Correct. So the main line of the story, and I'm not really giving anything away here, is written through the eyes of the Relic, who is in present first person.
The Relic is one of our narrators?
She is the narrator.
The Relic is a she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to tell from the front, but that's a gal. That's a lady.
I like her do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can see she's a lady now. I won't tell you how you're going to have to find the book. Okay. This is all really just so impressive, Holly Harbin.
Thank you.
I want to read this book. May I read this book?
Please do. I would love
to. May I read this actual book?
Absolutely.
Okay. So maybe you can sign it for me after the show.
I would absolutely sign it for you.
Tell everybody again how they can. Now, this is, you wrote this here. You conceived of it, wrote of this book here in our area?
Yes.
Okay. So where can we find it?
It is available right now online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, and it should be available in brick-and-mortar stores. If it's not already, it should be soon. Like I said, it's back-ordered right now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
So you sold out the first run? Is that what you're saying?
I guess they ordered 5, and we got 6 orders. And panic!
Yeah, you know what? And maybe even local... Booksellers will stock it someday and come back and let us know. Okay.
Absolutely.
But I have to say, I'm kind of a snob. I'm, you know, English professor, and I have high standards for stuff that I'm going to sit down and devote my life to reading. And I have been looking at your book. I've been talking to you about it, and I think it's going to be a great read. And I really appreciate you giving me a copy of the book.
I appreciate you reading it. I hope you will like it, and please be gentle.
Okay, but if I find a comma out of place, I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Throw it against the wall. You're done with it now.
Get out of here. Be gone. You horrible. Okay, and in the last, how many minutes remain to us, Mr. Producer Luca Brazzi, we have 2 minutes. Talk to our listeners about maybe not writing a book, although I think we all have a book inside us. But, you know, where's our listener? What do you want them to be, him or her to be thinking about today in terms of telling stories, which is all we ever do?
Right. Well, I think most people have some creative side that should be indulged. You need to express yourself. You have to, or you're going to lose your mind. And I think it is, like you said earlier, whether it's writing, books, songs,
gardening,
painting,
even, yeah.
gardening, yes, whatever it is that allows you to be yourself at your best, absolutely you have to do mm-hmm. it. And it's wonderful.
It's not even a luxury, really, is it? It's just an important aspect that we have to attend to.
It is necessary, and I yeah. think people don't make time for it. And of course, it is so hard to make time for it when you're doing 20,000 other things, but you have to.
That makes me want to dive into an entirely new half-hour conversation about getting in the zone mm. of creativity, because you lose time. Even when I'm pulling doggone kudzu out of my yard, mm. you know, if I'm yeah. in the right place, it's just, it's me, it's the dirt, it's the thorns. You know, is that,
yes.
did you find that you lose whole hours when you're writing?
Obsessive compulsive disorder, yes.
I know, I would say that's yes. just creativity, that you're in the flow.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's your message, right? Get in the flow, everyone. Find your flow.
Absolutely. And stay there as long as you can.
Beautiful. Lovely. And you must come back sometime, okay?
I'd love to.
We'll do it, and you can do a reading or something. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We have Jane Robbins coming on tomorrow for our Wednesday show in 23 and a half hours. So I'll meet you back here then. Until then, get in the flow, man.